the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, God's Word describes the gospel in many terms: the good news of Christ's salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our forgiveness. But in verse 26 of Colossians chapter 1, it says that this good news, the incarnation of Christ, the gospel, salvation is, quote, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, we'll talk about those beautiful words and much more on this edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland, and with me is Jeff Shambly, and we're in Colossians 1, if you want to turn there and follow along. Jeff, I'm down here with Bert and Jan Harper, Alex and Angie McFarland, and dozens of pastors and their wives from across the country, and we're having a great couple of days meeting with God, praying, getting into the Word, and I believe getting a fresh vision and fresh wind for ministry in the days ahead. Yeah. And I appreciate you sitting in for Bert while we're down here doing the Fishbowl Retreat.
My pleasure. Great to be with you. And I know that the pastors and their wives are being encouraged. You know, it's good to come aside for a season and to hear the Word of God and to be ministered to. Because a lot of times in a pulpit ministry, you feel like you're constantly being squeezed out and you're giving. But what a great event. And I did see some pictures online, so it looks fantastic.
Well, it really is. And, you know, I commend Bert for having this vision, the American Family Association for putting this on. And, you know, I had the privilege of speaking last night on biblical worldview. And then we had some times today where the wives and the ladies got together and all of us men got together in a room and shared and prayed. This morning, Bert gave a message about finishing well, and I just want to say, Bert Harper is a great preacher.
He is.
Now, we hear him on Exploring the Word, teaching the Bible, but, you know, giving a full-out sermon is maybe a little bit different, and I just want to be on record. I was so blessed. I wish you all could have heard it, but he gave the most rousing challenge about finishing well, and I was sitting there, and I thought, man, I'm really blessed. Most of the time to be sitting beside Bert on the radio microphone. I'm grateful for you, Jeff, when you sit in when one of us is out. But folks, keep praying, yes. And I'll say this too. Not only are we trying to encourage existing pastors and their wives, but we're praying for God to raise up more pastors. They estimate that 30% of American churches don't have a senior pastor. And we need to, as the Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And we need some young men to get the call, hear and answer the call of God to the pastorate. And, you know, Paul talks about in Colossians about how he labored on behalf of the church at Colossae. And we're going to pick it up there. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I love this book. We've done it on the show at least once and maybe twice before in the past 15 years. And on the road, I've taught through Colossians verse by verse. But Jeff, when we pick up there, Paul says he's made a minister of the gospel. And then this gospel is referred to as the mystery hid from ages and generations. So I want to ask you a question, Jeff. It seems like the scales are before some people's eyes. It seems simple enough. The Son of God died on the cross, rose from the dead. We put our faith in Jesus, we're forgiven. But some seem almost blind to comprehending that, don't they?
They do. And I think, you know, especially when you look at this particular period of time that Paul's preaching in, the Jews had long expected the Gentiles to come in. In other words, the Gentiles would one day worship their Messiah, that the Messiah would be elevated globally. But what the mystery was, was that the Messiah would actually indwell the members of his church. He would dwell inside the Jews, inside the Gentiles, and there were hints of this in the Old Covenant, in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, particularly in Ezekiel when he talks about giving you a new heart and that law being written on your mind. But this mystery is now being revealed in the proclamation of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, so that now it's as he says here, the riches of the glory of this mystery in the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, what a great revelation! No longer a mystery.
Oh well, yeah, and you know the Bible said it is not possible that the blood of bull and goats take away sins. I mean, it's not ritual. And it's not religion, but it's this reality. And like you said, the new heart, this is the new covenant. And, you know, we've taught a couple of times through Hebrews, and especially Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, but this new covenant that God gives us a living heart, not dead rituals, not a heart of stone, but it's a mystery. Jeff, this morning, and we'll get back to Colossians chapter 1, but in the time this morning, a born-again Jewish man gave his testimony of how he was very immersed in Judaism, being Jewish, but he was prayed for, and people gently but repeatedly shared the gospel, and that he went to some church services, and then one day, it was quite moving, he told how his eyes were opened, and he put his trust in Jesus, and he was born again. And folks, let us say it, this Jesus, this Messiah, Isaiah says that the Redeemer of Israel, that's Jesus, is the light to the Gentiles. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
It is.
Jew and Gentile share the same Jesus, the same Savior, and we put our faith in him.
Oh, how exciting it is. It's exciting when anyone comes to faith in Christ, but it, in particular, when you know that someone of a descendant of Abraham, the one who was in the covenant, the chosen people of God, has that blindness taken away from them, as Paul prayed would happen in Romans, that they come and recognize their Messiah. So that must have been a great testimony. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was quite moving. And Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that this mystery is to the Gentiles. Yeah. And what is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Verse 28 there, by the way. What do we preach? We preach Jesus. What do we preach? The gospel. Jesus is whom we preach. And it says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. People say sometimes, oh, I thought God was a God of love. I thought God was a God of grace. Well, that's true, but he is also a holy God of justice. And so in proclaiming, come to Jesus who gave his life for you, it's all about God's love, but it's also a warning. Because if we don't come to Jesus, if we reject the truth that we've been shown, there is judgment. So, Jeff, there's almost a job description for the ministers and the ministry in verse 28. There's telling and teaching, grooming, presenting, but there's warning as well.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and that phrase, warning, it really means to put in mind, to warn against the dangers. And that is, like you said, the job description of every pastor as he preaches in the pulpit. Paul's already given that back in verse 23. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith. So we're constantly reminded to guard ourselves against heresies, against deceptive philosophies that is going on in Colossae right now and that we see in our world today all over the place. But it's the job of the man in the pulpit to issue that warning. I think in a contemporary sense too, Alex, because you think of all of the false philosophy that we see on the internet. I mean, if these itinerant teachers in Paul's day were a problem, can you imagine the kinds of distortions of the gospel that are at the fingertips of every believer today? So we need to warn them about that. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I've read many a website that you might start reading, and in the first paragraph, it sounds pretty good, but you get down into the minutiae, and they deny some of the core doctrines. Some of the core doctrines, one, of course, is the deity of Christ, that he is God incarnate. And then the very nature of God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there are plenty of distortions about that. And then what is salvation? And then even moral issues and marriage and just so many things. That's why we are kind of not only reminding you, I would say even harping on it, to read the Bible and know the Bible. And verse 28 concludes, present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. Now, chapter 2 goes on, and he says, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul is saying, hey, look, I'm praying for you all, and it really agonizes me that I've not been there in person. I want you all to know the Lord, to grow in the Lord, and to be biblically sound. And if there's anything that seems to really come through verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul wishes he could be on site, on the field, to be ministering and teaching in person.
And this shows us, Alex, I think, the concern that we should have for brothers and sisters in Christ that we have never seen. I mean, Paul has never met these people, but he's rejoicing, he says in several places, for their good order, for their steadfastness in the faith. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to consider the Christians, the brothers and sisters around the world that we have never met, and to pray for them. I know that we do that on this program. There are ministries like Voice of the Martyrs and others that help to remind us about Christians all over the world, to not forget them, but to pray for their advancement in the faith, for their deeper understanding, and of course for their protection. So it's a great call to remember people that we've never met before.
Indeed, you know, and we're going to come on verse 2 here, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. There's that word again, this hidden reality. It's a true truth, real reality, but to many it's hidden, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, there are so many Christians around the world that we really do need to pray for. And, you know, Jeff, I was very surprised to realize that they estimate there are something like 45,000 born-again Christians in North Korea. And, you know, to get absolutely accurate numbers is kind of hard because, you know, there are so many of these closed countries and predominantly Islamic countries that we just don't know about. But let's not be so comfortable in the USA, posh, affluent, evangelical America, that we don't remember the Christians, or, I mean, China and Hong Kong and Romania and Russia and, of course, throughout the Middle East, North Africa, South Korea, North Korea, Niger. There are believers just everywhere.
There are, and I think, you know, and Paul gives us what we are to pray for and some things that we can pray for, that they would be encouraged, their hearts knit together. That's part of what it means to have that full assurance of understanding that he gives us. And I had the privilege of speaking with a lady on the Stan Radio coming up this weekend who grew up in a communist country, and she'll be sharing her testimony. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio with Jeff Shambly and Alex McFarland. We'll continue with more from Colossians chapter 2 in just a few moments. Don't go away.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
It's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy. It's all because of mercy.
Wow, what a truth. All because of mercy. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio with Alex McFarland and Jeff Shambly. We are moving through the book of Colossians, just packed with great treasures and truths about the Lord Jesus and how to live in fellowship with Him. Alex, you are at the Fishbowl Retreat right now. What's on the horizon with you in the next week or the month or so? What's going on with you?
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah, and I do solicit everybody's prayers. We've got a pretty busy few weeks coming up. Next Wednesday, I will be in Rochelle, Georgia at Wilcox Christian Academy doing a day of like biblical worldview training. But also, I'm told that I'll be doing assemblies in a couple of high schools, like secular high schools. Wow. And I often get into high schools and I might talk about the Constitution or give a lesson on the founding of America, and I get to quote many Bible verses merely by quoting our founding fathers. And so then I'll be in a church that night, and it's on my schedule at alexmcfarland.com. But Jeff, I ask for everybody's prayers. Also, November 7th through 9th, I'll be at Fort Caswell. Now, in North Carolina, on the coast, the North Carolina Baptist Convention has a 200-acre retreat center. They've had it for almost 100 years, and it's an old Civil War-era fort called Fort Caswell. But I'll be doing a youth weekend. They tell me there'll be 900 teenagers there. I'm very excited about that for the evangelistic possibilities. And then we've just got a lot. I give God the glory, preaching the gospel, teaching apologetics. And so I value everybody's prayers and my itinerary and lots of articles I've written. It's all at alexmcfarland.com.
Outstanding. Well, folks, I do encourage you to pray for Alex. You know, he's traveling constantly. And, you know, what a day that we live in today. I think that there are more and more young people asking very weighty and eternal questions. And so the times are ripe for you to be out there. So I'm glad that you're doing that.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for asking. We are in Colossians chapter 2. And, you know, before the break, Paul was talking about the mystery of the knowledge of God. In the Father, the Son, the Spirit are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4, he says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you or mislead you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order." In other words, structured and doctrinal and sound and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Jeff, in verse 5 there, the word order, I think speaks to right belief, and the steadfastness of their faith is right living. Because beliefs begat behaviors. And since every action is preceded by a thought, it's important to have the right beliefs, the biblically informed beliefs, isn't it?
Yeah, we preach and teach the gospel, and it goes through the mind before it gets to the heart. It is a logical faith. It's a faith that makes sense. It is rooted in history. And it is intellectual in the sense that it goes through the intellect first, and then it goes into the heart. I think one of the things that stand out to me in the verses that you've just read, number one, is in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, a lot of people look outside of the Bible as if there's more profound truth to be had with some guru or for some great writer or speaker or podcaster or influencer. When Paul is telling us, and it is true, that every bit of the wisdom and understanding, the treasures that he says, are in the Bible. And so for the Christian, I think there's a caution to not look outside of the truth of the church and outside of the truth of the Bible to find wisdom, because it's all there in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well said. Well said. You know, it's been said that wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective, and then knowledge here is truth, and I could spend a lot of time on this, propositional truth. The Bible is full of truth statements, and really, in the world, you are confronted all your life long with truth claims. The Bible says you must be born again. The world says, falsely, but it's not so much what you believe just as long as you're sincere. Well, that statement is false. It is important what you believe, because the Bible is clear there's no other salvation except through Jesus. And so there's a lot Paul is agonizing that the church believe what is true, God's revealed truth. And so let me read, you know, verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him," in Jesus, "established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Two words, therefore and therein. Therefore means, in other words, in light of this. And then therein, okay, what are we going to do with it? Jeff, it's been said that some of the most important questions that we could ponder for ourselves is, you know, why am I here? And then what should I do? You know, why am I here? Did we just evolve? Are we just part of a purposeless happenstance universe? You live, you die, that's it? No. Yeah. We were made, we were entrusted with the gift of life to come to know the giver of life, the savior of our soul, and then not only to be saved and bound for heaven, as wonderful as that is, my goodness, just to be born again, that would be blessing enough. But God lets us share in the work he's doing. We get rewarded in heaven one day for helping the gospel go forth. Souls get saved. And Jeff, would you, I've got the old King James here, but verse 6, yeah. "As you have therefore received, so walk in Jesus, therefore and therein." Since he gave his life for us, we should give our life for him. How does your translation read there?
It's an as-so statement. So it's, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted in and built up in the faith and established in the faith."
Paul is making a very logical progression of thought here. I mean, one thing I love about the Apostle Paul, very reasonable, A, then B, therefore C. That's kind of an earmark of Paul's writing style, isn't it?
It is, and I think, and I've always thought this, you know, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, well, how did you receive him? Well, you received him by faith, and you received him by believing and by loving him. And then he says, so walk in him. So how are we to walk? We're to walk by faith. We're to walk by loving him. The same way that we received Christ, we walk in him. Do you remember, you know, listener, the zeal that you had for the Lord Jesus when you first came to him, when you first realized your sins were forgiven and that feeling of the burden of sin being lifted off of your shoulders? Remember that and walk in that. It keeps you from looking outside the truths of Christ for wisdom and knowledge, and it grows you in the faith.
Amen. Amen. You know, verse 7, I like the way this is worded, rooted and built up in him. See, those are opposites. Roots go down. Building up goes up. Jeff, I read an illustration that down at Cape Canaveral, when they were going to send rockets to the moon, they dug some of the deepest footings of any structure in America, maybe the deepest ever, concrete that went down into the ground 300 feet. Mm. Now, that is really deep. If you've ever seen the cement footings under a building, you know, they're several feet deep. 300 feet deep of concrete. Why? And they said, well, you know, when the thrust of that rocket pushes off, I mean, it just could almost move a mountain. And they said, the higher you want to go, the deeper your foundation must be.
Yeah.
And that really speaks to me. Rooted and built up. You want to stand strong for Jesus? You need to be deep in your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
You want to go the distance, finish well, make a fruitful mark for the gospel down here, be welcomed to those words, well done, up there. You need to be rooted. And some of that foundational grounding, how do you get rooted? Well, make sure that you're saved, and then you're walking with the Lord, and then you're in His Word. And look, Jeff, I know salvation is not by works. Sanctification, though, a little bit is.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness is a free gift you receive, but Christian growth, you're going to have to invest yourself in it. Am I right, Jeff?
Well, the word Paul uses there is agonizing. He's striving for the gospel. There is a definite physical working out of whether it is in prayer for other Christians or whether it is, in Paul's case, bearing the marks of the ministry, actually getting beaten for it. I mean, there's persecution. There's the inner struggle of doubt when you're trying to walk by faith. There's any number of things. So, yeah, sanctification is a working out of our salvation. You mentioned a tree. I love that illustration here. I wrote down here, you know, grow roots deep in the doctrines of Jesus. Make it your aim to learn about all of the treasures of wisdom that are in our Savior. Draw from that daily as you live out. I mean, everything that we need to desire is found in the Lord Jesus. And it's not just head knowledge. It actually works its way out in our lives.
Amen. Yeah. Well, verse 8 is a very, very famous verse. Paul has laid down this about being established and rooted and just grounded in the faith. Now, verse 8 begins with an interesting Greek word, beware. In other words, watch out, take care. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay, in other words, this opening word, here's a great word, blepete. That's what the word is, actually, blepete. But in other words, it's be alert, be on your guard, have your eyes open. But in a way, it's perceive.
Yeah.
Okay, perceive what? Well, perceive and understand that in this world, there are plenty of lures the devil has, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are a lot of ways to fall off track. G.K. Chesterton, he was a great Christian leader many years ago, very influential in the life of C.S. Lewis, but Chesterton had you remember one of those protractors, Jeff, that you had maybe in geometry class?
Yeah.
And Chesterton was looking at that thing, and, 180 degrees, but a 90 degree angle. He said, look, there's multiple ways to be slanted, crooked, or fall. There's 1 degree to be straight up and down, the 90 degree angle. Hmm. He said, in the Christian life, there are 10,000 ways to go to hell. There's one way to go to heaven, through Jesus. So we need to beware, lest any man spoil you. What does it mean? Ruin you. Hinder you. Now, when it comes to backsliding and falling away, very often we are willing participants in that, but there are, and they may not even know it, but I'm going to say this, Satan has his operatives out there with false teaching that can be just basically a little bit off to full out apostate, and so verse 8 is a call to be on our guard against worldly ideas after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Verse 9, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Boy, that is a theological juggernaut, isn't it? Colossians 2:9. Comment on it, would you, Jeff?
Well, he mentions also back in chapter 1, verse 19, about Christ being the fullness. He says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So in Jesus Christ are all of the attributes of the Godhead, the Father and the Spirit. The Father and the Spirit and the Son are all one. They share one essence, even though they are separate persons in the deity. And what he's doing here, he's calling to the attention of these Colossians that what these heretics have taught you about Jesus being maybe one of the angels or a good teacher, but you really need more knowledge if you want to access the fullness of God. He's saying to them, no, Jesus is the fullness of God. Everything that you're looking for, everything that you need is in him because he is God in human flesh. And so it's a paradox. It's impossible to fully understand, but it is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. You cannot be saved and Jesus not be divine. He had to be divine. And so that's a core doctrine of our faith.
Amen. Well said. The fullness, the totality, the completeness of God. If you are right with Jesus, you are right with God. Now, verse 10 says, you are complete in him, Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. Let me just flip this over. If you are complete in Christ, well, conversely, you're incomplete if you don't have Christ. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes sense. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins. Let me turn the page here. Come on, Alex. Putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Okay, I know we're coming up on a break. By the way, folks, the number, if you have a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're going to have to spend some time on this tomorrow, but if you're in Jesus, you're circumcised and baptized in Christ. We'll elaborate more, but when we come back after this brief break, let us hear from you. Call in now, get in the queue, 888-589-8840 on Exploring the Word.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
God is worthy of all our praise, and we do praise his name. Well, this is the part of the show where we go to your phone calls and Bible questions. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840. And while we queue up the phone call board, let me remind you that the new book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Times, is out. And it's just being well received. I'm here at the Fishbowl Retreat, and I give God the glory. Quite a number of folks have come up to Bert and myself, and they say they really like the book. It's available at the American Family Association. If you go to the AFA website, the resources, not only we think it'll be a blessing to you, it'll help you in your Bible study, but your purchase of these books like this helps fund the ministry and put God's truth and the saving gospel in the hands and hearts of countless people. And Jeff, you've got The Stand. Where may people, all the articles, the content that you collate and oversee, where can people find that, Jeff?
TheStand.net is an easy website to remember, TheStand.net, and you can go there and read a lot of the articles on the back issues. By the way, we encourage you to get a free 6-month trial subscription to The Stand. Just go to afa.net/thestand, sign up. It'll come to your house every month. It's a great magazine, and of course, I have the privilege of producing the podcast version of that on the weekends, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8, The Stand Radio. So thank you, Alex. Let's go to...
Let me say this, forgive me. We had a lot of prayer requests yesterday, and we didn't get to all of them because it was just so many. And if somebody had a prayer request that was heavily on your heart yesterday and you didn't get through, call us again today if you want to, 888-589-8840.
All right, let's go to Texas. Hi, Chris, you're on Exploring the Word. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir, I was wondering if you could pray for my friend. His name is Brad. He's not a believer, and I was also wondering if you could give me a recommendation for a creation science book with a trusted author, because I think that might help.
Mm. Mm. Well, great, thank you. Let me ask, how old is he? Like, what reading level would he be at?
40s.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Let me think about this. Does he have a science background?
Yes, sir. Well, every time I've asked him about it, he just points towards science. He says, I believe in science. And just nothing after you die. That's it. That's over. Wow. It's just back to dust.
I'm going to recommend a couple of books. For one thing, my book, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity, it's published by Baker Books. No, I'm sorry, Bethany House, which is part of Baker. It's got a big red X on the cover, like a Roman numeral X. The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity and How to Answer Them. I've got two chapters on science and creation and how the evidence all around us doesn't point to, Darwin. It points to God, the Creator. The other thing, there's a book that came out a couple of years ago that is a really good book. And it's a little bit up there, but it's a great book. It's called Undeniable, How Biology and Science Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. It's written by a guy named Douglas Axe, A-X-E. And on the front, it's got like the tail of some kind of reptile and all the segmentation and the colors. Undeniable. Now, what is undeniable? That design had a designer. That, the whole creation, it takes faith to the point of absolute stupidity to think that this came about just accidentally. My goodness, the building that I'm in right now, Jeff, I don't know who did it, but an architect designed it, a contractor built it.
Yeah.
Because the floors are level, the walls are vertical. I mean, we look all around us. From the solar system to the molecular level, the world is an amazing, well-designed, super, super computer of function and intricacy. And so, to your question, yes, we'll recommend that and we'll pray. In fact, let me pray right now, Jeff. Father, we pray for this man that he would open his heart and his eyes to you, that yes, God exists and we're accountable to him. And Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to remove the blindness of all who just assume, well, I'm not going to think about this, and I'll just tell myself that when we die, that's all there is. But no, the Bible says that after we leave this physical world, we're face-to-face with Almighty God. So Spirit of the Lord, make people desire to be saved. Make them feel the conviction of their sin and the realization that they need to turn to Christ. This man and all the others around the world that need you, send a great revival and bring millions to a knowledge of Jesus. We ask in his name, amen.
Amen. Chris, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your heart for your friend, Brad. Let's go next to Arkansas and welcome Gail to the program. Hi, Gail. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes. You're on the air. Okay. Go right ahead.
My question is, in Revelation 22:15, and when it speaks about the New Jerusalem coming down, and it's on a new earth, but then it speaks about those outside the gates. Who are they?
Well, I believe they are the ones outside the gates, are the ones that didn't get into the kingdom. And why did they not get into the kingdom? Because they rejected the overtures of the king. And so, just like any house has a door and a country has borders, well, the city of God has gates. And it says those that are without, speaking of those that didn't go to heaven but hell, without are the dogs, the Gentiles, sorcerers. Gentiles meaning those that didn't receive Jesus and get saved. And it says, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, people that embrace that which was false rather than that which is true. Revelation 22:15, outside the city are those that weren't in the family through faith in Jesus.
Yeah, those who are outside of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Gail, thank you for your question today. Thanks for calling in. Let's stay in Arkansas and let's go to Madison. Hello, Madison. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Great to have you with us.
My question is about, like, the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit makes the difference in having it, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues. And I ask because experience before, however, I find myself kind of coming out of the heavily charismatic movement a little bit. So maybe if you can comment on that, however you see fit.
Okay, thank you, Madison.
Well, thank you very much. Do you know, unfortunately, one of the areas of kind of great misunderstanding is about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I believe, and I realize, look, there are equally good, godly people that have differing opinions on this, but I think one of the key passages is 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, that says, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, given one Spirit to drink. And so let me say this. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we're baptized. Now, Ephesians 4 verse 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now I'll say this. One Holy Spirit. And when you put your faith in Christ, you have got the Holy Spirit. Right. Ephesians 4:30 says the Spirit of God indwells you, and the Spirit of God seals you. Jeff, one more scripture before I throw it to you. Paul says this, that in Romans 6:3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And it goes on and it talks about our old self is dead, the old man has died, and we are baptized into his death, raised to walk in newness of life by his Spirit. So I think that the Spirit of God draws us, regenerates us, indwells us, seals us, every believer at the moment of salvation. Now, one last thing, and Jeff, you feel free to disagree. I completely believe the Holy Spirit of God can do anything today that you read about in the book of Acts. I have seen Christians that speak in tongues, Christians that don't. I've seen Christians that are very stoic and reserved in the way they live. I've seen Christians that are, man, just out there, loud, proud, on fire. I believe in miracles of healing. I believe that the Spirit of God, fasting, can drive out sin and even demons. So, Jeff, I think one thing in the American church, we have got to rediscover the power of the supernatural and avail ourselves to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that has been present with the church in every generation.
Yeah, I think that that's an excellent outline of what it means for a Christian to have the Holy Spirit. And Madison, the only thing I would add to that is that you don't need to wonder, are you incomplete if you don't speak in tongues? Because one of the verses that we've just read today is that you are complete in Him. That every believer who is genuinely born again has everything that they need. And Peter puts it well. He says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So you're not incomplete if you're not having some experience. And I think that's the thing that you need to be watching out for. So, Madison, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Alexis, who's calling in from Texas today. Hi, Alexis. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, my question is, I know, like, when the gospel's taught, a lot of times I feel like when people are witnessing, they leave out, I guess, not the divinity of Christ, but the Trinity is, I guess my question is, when I was presented the gospel, it was Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God rose Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But it wasn't until later that I discovered John 1:1, the Trinity. And so my question is can people be truly saved if they don't have an understanding? And I know we'll always have a limited understanding of the Trinity, but can they be saved without having that understanding of the Trinity when the gospel a lot of times is not presented in that way, I guess.
Right. I think so. Let me say thank you for calling, and I want to be careful how I say this, and Jeff, anything that needs correcting or if you disagree, feel free to do so. I think a person can absolutely be saved with only having a limited knowledge of the theology behind the gospel, because there is deep truth, revelation truth. In salvation, first of all, we understand that we're sinners and that our sin separates us from God, but we believe that Jesus loves us, and when He died on the cross, Jesus died for our sins, and we're you call it faith, trust, belief, but we're saying, Lord, please forgive me. I believe You rose from the dead. You died for me. Please save me. When I was a youth pastor, Jeff, we had a Jewish man. He was a medical doctor, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy who got born again, put his faith in Jesus, the Messiah. And I mean, this guy was on fire. And we had a Christmas play. He had been saved a few 6 or 8 months. And in this Christmas play, there was a scene where Jesus was in heaven up on a throne, and He came down this staircase down to planet Earth. And in this Christmas play, we were trying to depict the incarnation. Mm-hmm. And my Jewish friend, who had been an exemplary believer for almost a year, he was so excited, tearfully, he said, I just realized Jesus is God. Jesus is God incarnate. He left heaven, came to Earth. That scene in the play where He was on the throne up high, but He came down that staircase down to Earth to go to the cross, that means Jesus is really God. And I said, yeah, that's what that means. Well, He had been saved for a long time. And I want to be clear, and then I'll throw it to you. Salvation is not a theology exam. Now, and I think that we are going to give an account for the response we gave to the truth we knew. I've seen little 5-6-year-old children joyfully say, I believe in Jesus. And they did. And they didn't understand these 85-cent theological words. I think you absolutely, on a very basic level, can trust in Jesus. And the deeper grasp of these very profound theological realities, it comes as we go along down the road, Jeff. But what do you say?
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, there's a point where, and Alexis, you walk with the Lord for years, and then you look back and you think, well, I didn't know nearly what I know today. Was I saved? You know, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and faith are all that are needed to be saved and to be born again. And so, but it's right to teach these doctrines. We must teach the Trinity. That has to be something that we learn in church and we hear. But again, you can certainly be saved apart from that particular knowledge. So thank you, Alexis.
Jeff, I knew a Kentucky coal miner, and he became a great, great, great preacher. But when he got saved at about 18, his prayer was that he said, God, have mercy on me, or I'm gone.
Yeah.
And he was saved. Now, he grew and grew and grew, as we all hope to do. Jeff, thanks for helping. And listeners, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Exploring the Word.
All right, and we'll continue with more Exploring the Word tomorrow here on American Family Radio. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.